The last week of presidential campaigning has begun in Zimbabwe. Voters will go to the polls next weekend to determine whether President Robert Mugabe will retain the power he's held since 1980, when the country gained independence from Britain. In recent weeks, the election campaign has been afflicted by tension and violence. Mugabe's main opponent has been charged with treason for allegedly plotting to kill him. Mugabe expelled European Union election monitors from the country, and in response, the EU and the United States imposed economic sanctions. Also, a high-ranking U.S. diplomat told Congress that repression and political violence have rendered the Zimbabwe election unfair. Rachel Swarns has been covering the election campaign for The New York Times. She's their Southern African bureau chief, and she joins me now from Zimbabwe's capital, Harare. Rachel, what's at stake in this election that starts next weekend?
It's huge. It's really huge for the country. Zimbabwe has been run by the same government for 22 years. It's a liberation government. It's a government that successfully ended white rule in 1980. And for President Mugabe, it's really kind of an evaluation of where people think he has brought them in that time. If the opposition were to win, it would be one of the first changes of party in this region, actually, because even though Southern Africa is often described, which it is, as one of the most stable regions in the continent, it's very much dominated by the liberation parties. And so though there have been changes of leadership, there have been very few changes of party. So it would be very significant in that regard.
How likely is it for the opposition party to win in Zimbabwe?
That is the $100,000 question, and it's really hard to say. Certainly, there is a great deal of dissatisfaction with President Mugabe right now. The economic climate in the country is really disastrous. Food shortages, sometimes people sleeping for days outside grain depots waiting for deliveries of cornmeal, which is Zimbabwe's staple food. Inflation is over 100%. There's a real decline in any kind of trust or faith in democracy because of the political violence that has been going on sporadically around the country. So what the opposition is concerned about is that people may not turn out to vote because they're afraid that, A, it won't make any difference because it will be rigged, or, you know, that they're just simply too afraid to go to the polls. But what often doesn't emerge in the reporting that comes out is that the violence goes both ways, that even though the political opposition are most often the victims of violence, there have been a number of Mugabe supporters that have been killed. The other thing is that, you know, I think people get the impression that Harare is, the capital is in flames, and it's not like that. You can go out and get your fast food and go to an internet cafe just like normal, and you don't feel the tension that you really do feel if you go to some of the rural communities. So it's a much more complex picture, I think.
Tell me about Morgan Tsvangirai, the opposition leader.
He has a very unwieldy coalition. He has the workers, of course, because urban workers, because he was the head of Zimbabwe's largest trade union, as well as unemployed or struggling young people, which there are many these days, who were born after 1980. They're described here as the born frees. There are also, though, many white farmers who are concerned about the land seizures, and white executives, owners of business, who are also supportive of the movement for democratic change. It's an unwieldy coalition, and some people think it may not hold or may have struggles if they are to win, just because these are not natural allies.
If Morgan Tsvangirai wins the election, what chance does he really have of improving daily lives for Zimbabweans?
I don't envy Morgan Tsvangirai if he wins. I don't envy the winner in any case. Zimbabwe has enormous, enormous problems, enormous economic problems. Whoever wins, it's a long haul.
Rachel Swarns, Southern Africa bureau chief for The New York Times. She joins us from Harare, Zimbabwe. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.